How dare you? How dare ye? Check one, how dare you? Check two, how dare ye? Check one, check two, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? Hi everybody, I'm gonna do a quick one in the garden today. We have 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tonight we have Dr. Andrew Kaufman to discuss the medicine of turpentine, the nature of the virus, and maybe the winters of Syracuse, New York, because he lives in Syracuse, New York. How is the audio right now? Is it okay? I know there's a little bit of wind right now. Maybe I can shield it with my Wuhan rice paddy hat. Yeah. I just have some gravy, and I needed to talk about it. So I'm doing a quick stream. This is one of the old school type streams. It's called Feel My Heat, the nature of consent versus compassion. Guys, don't do psychedelic drugs unless you're like really ready. I do zero psychedelic drugs, and my pineal gland and third eye has been opening to the point where I was just like weeping this morning. And it's compassion. And there's a difference between compassion and consent. Compassion really is the most powerful thing in the world. I'm going to show you guys a clip from my special. My second Comedy Central special. It's called High Five Till It Hurts. The joke is called Feel My Heat. It's the nature of consent. How to get the crowd to consent. And what is compassion versus consent. And how you have to face your darkest parts of your soul and have compassion for it to understand it and be able to survive. And it's really beautiful and amazing when you see it, but guys, it's really, really intense stuff. All right, just waking up with a quick weep. Dude, I was trying to have compassion for pedophiles because I know, and that's not consent. Oh, how dare you? I was thinking about how one would actually deal with one. You know, I've talked a long time about how I would never torture somebody. I would just put them out of their misery. And that was always my gut instinct, which is a good instinct. And because when you kill a scared thing, it takes something from you no matter what it is, whether it's an animal or a human being. It takes a piece from you, no matter how bad they are. Like torture is torturing yourself. Like once you really see the compassion of what you want, what do you guys want to do? You guys want to do Dahmer style? No. It will, you do it to yourself when you do that. And I know this sounds crazy, but you have to understand we're all, I don't even know how to put this into words. And then they don't taste as good. Right. But a lot of people haven't killed anything. I have. A lot of people don't understand what killing is and the gruesome reality of it. And one time I killed a pig and it was eating happily and it was fine. It didn't take a toll on me. I've slaughtered many chickens just by having them upside down where they go into a trance. It's all good. The closer to human, the harder it is no matter what the person did. So you have to really, really think about this stuff and then understand what you are as an American. Like once your third eye starts opening and you understand compassion, think of how people see us, the consumers of the world. Understand what that means, the consumers. Bro, the first time you expressed hope that a pedo would repent was when the moon was setting on your crown during a book burning. Right. I was weeping today thinking about pedophiles. And I'll tell you why, because how I would actually do it and how God really works. Like, let's say you are a hunter. Let's say you are trying to purge the world of those who harm children. What would be the way you would do it? What would be your call, your hunting call? It would be accepting it, right? You can almost see God. So many people think everything is like the Freemasons or the Zionists or something. Please start seeing this as God. Imagine, What would you do if you were God and you wanted to pull the pedophiles out from in the shadows? You would start LGBTQAI movements. You would start saying, hey guys, it's great what you do. It's every parent's nightmare. And most people have issues with it from childhood. Like somebody sexualized you as a child. It's really, really, really dark shit. And it's scary and it's sick. And we want to just torture them and no. But really think about what you would do if you were God. You know, and when you have compassion, and then think about, have compassion for the pedophile. It's not consent. It's compassion. It's way different. Consent is approving of it. I have compassion for the weasel that I hacked up into little bits. I know what they're doing. If you just simply go, I'm again, you can't do anything. You're just absolutely frozen. What I would do with the pedophile is let's say you have a pedophile in a room, or no, on right here, there's a pedophile right here, and he couldn't stop. He was sexualizing and degrading and raping children. How would you do it? I'll tell you exactly how I do it. And no, drown them. No, listen, just listen. You'll drown yourself. And I know a lot of people haven't seen this stuff. And if you take psychedelics, you might see stuff, but you're not ready for it and it messes up your brain. Just please, if you've trusted me this long, can you just trust me to not blurt out like, I'd cut his dick and eat his dick. Okay, so now you're a dick eater. Just please understand. Castration, no, this is what I would do. Dude, this hit me today so hard. And then we're going to analyze some comedy. I would talk to them about their life, about why they do it and how they think it's right, how, you know, whatever it was. And it would be calm. You know, if you want to understand the pedophile's mind, listen to this song by The Who. Nobody knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you, right? So talk about, like, what is it? And they will get to a point. Every one of them would get to a point, if you were honest and compassionate, not consenting, not that what they're doing is good, but compassionate, where they would say, I don't want to hurt anyone anymore. You know, I don't want to hurt anyone anymore. And then you call very calmly, like you're bringing someone home to God. You say, get on your knees and pray. Pray for the first time in years. Tell God what you've done. And as they're doing that, calmly put a bullet in the back of their head. That's how I would do it. And they would ghost run. Every time you kill an animal, no matter what it is, they move for like minutes, guys. A lot of people have never killed anything. But what you would do with that is, A, you wouldn't traumatize yourself in doing that. Now I'm crying. Dude, this is real. This is very real. If you see the horror on the face of a pedophile, you would internalize that for the rest of your life. Okay. With compassion, you know, and what you're doing is good for them. You are putting them out of their misery. They won't hurt anyone anymore. And that's what they really, really want. And in that moment, that's the best chance they have of being sent back to God. And you want to return his children home, even if those children are dark. Now, when your third eye is open, you will pull over on the side of the road and you will weep when you understand that you are the pedophile too. Oh, how damn you? No, you just... Okay, let's say you're an American. Let's say like you're confronted with a Bangladeshi whose kids have been making your fucking high tops or whatever, you know. Oh, it's his capitalism. Tell yourself whatever you want. The consumers of the world. And listen, I'm a consumer. I get it. But it's like, and I will avoid that. I won't get on my knees for them and have them put me out of my misery. But it's like, there are people that view you as the American. And I'm not comparing being an American to a pedophile, but I also kind of am. A Canadian to a pedophile. As someone living in the Amazon jungle. Everybody has disgraced God in some way. And so the pedophile is my nightmare. The pedophile is my monster, is my boogeyman. I was sexualized as a child. A lot of my friends were. And I know the sickness of it. And so to have empathy for those people is almost impossible. But when you do, you see it. You know? And then it's like, get on your knees. Not get on your knees. No. It's like, what you do is you set his soul free. He doesn't have to hurt the children anymore. And in his calm state, as he reconnected to God, as he, it's like with compassion, it's like, because he would do it again. You know, there is no stop. Like, these people are compulsive. Like, if you have compassion for the weasel, you don't catch them and put them back near your chicken coop. They will kill more chickens. It's what they do. And so what you do is, I when I've hacked up scared animals before. And compassion, prayer, then, because it's also a weakness to have the tyrannical empathy where it's like, oh, everyone's the same, this pentafound repented, so let him go back out. No. A peaceful death. Because if you torture them and if you go, oh, look at me, you're now committing the sin of wrath, and that is now in you. The pedophile might as well have stuck his finger back in your anus. Justice is also very important, right? But just send them back to God. He's still God's child. He with no sin cast the first stone. And I'm using the example of the pedophile versus the American because of the juxtaposition, not because it's the same thing. Because one is the rape of children, the other is our national identity. Obviously, they're very, very different. That's the whole purpose of me comparing the two. It's not because I'm saying, it's all the same, moral relativity. No, it's like, when you have your third eye open and you see compassion, like if you understand how other people view you, you can understand what the next step is. Like what masturbating to runaways on your computer screen that you throw money at and nickels and stuff is one generation ago's pedophile. Like they would want to put you on your knees and put you out of your misery for that wretched defiling of women and children. If you masturbate to pornography, you are a consumer of human trafficking. It's so, when you are out of that world, it's so disgusting that people masturbate to pornography, and with their clicks, they keep hitting consent, consent, consent. Oh, watch this girl, watch these five girls and these black dudes, and it's like consent, consent, consent. And you're pleasuring your penis. You know, and so a moral man would talk to you about why you would do that. You know, because if I had a pedophile here in my garden, and I would know, and they were raping children, they couldn't stop. I would know that they were never going to leave here alive. But my goal would be to connect with them on a deep spiritual level and have them put their forehead to the earth and pray to God in a pure, serene, relaxed state, and then to calmly put them out of their misery. And that would be my goal, because any other thing, any like mass public humiliation ritual or all this stuff, it would send ripples back out. And this is all real. So much sexual abuse and pornography, it's molestation of yourself to squirt to those sex. But right. Some of those people are sex slaves. A lot of them are. They're slaves, literally. And you've pleasured your dick to it. And they've been groomed since they were a child. And those are the same people that are like, oh, I want to round up the pedophile. And they didn't. No. I'm not saying that like everybody needs to be killed or anything, but I understand that pull of God to just want to send everyone back home out of their misery. Is right, BB, good on you? Yeah. One more chance, like the thief on the cross. Everyone has an appointment with God. Some appointments just need to be moved up. Right. And if you have wrath for the pedophile, I've carried, and I still carry it. I will go into moments where I have wrath for the pedophile again. I'm feeling a day of serenity today, and so I wanted to share it. I will go back. I will have moments where I will be like, I'm going to fucking make him eat his own dick. But then you're a dude who made a dude eat his own dick. Yeah, it makes total sense. You're participating in allowing those bad things to get... Right, if you send out... the most beautiful thing you can do for God is to send his child back home. And the best way to do that is with peace. Because a lot of people are LARPing. I've noticed that a lot. You know, a lot of people, they say these things on the internet, but they're really... One window is masturbation, the next is a Q thing catching pedophiles. They're living a split schizophrenic life. And I'm the type of person that would actually do these things. You know, I would actually do these. Like, I don't know how else to put it. But, like, I have to actually think through these ideas because I'm not a LARPer. Like, I actually, like, when people were saying, oh, you got to have a garden. I actually had a garden. I got a garden. I built a garden. Like, everything behind you see, I built in under a year with my bare hands. Look at this. Man, you see all that? Like, people squirt on the internet all day long about food shortages. I was like, okay, I'll build a garden. So when people talk about killing pedophiles, I actually could. And so I have to think about, like, how spiritually is that possible? Killing any animal is hard. You know, you can get used to it if you have a good method. But the closer to human, the more you want them in a serene position. You don't want them panicking. You don't want them knowing they're going to their death. It's all about calm, calm, because it's also better meat. You know, you don't want their adrenals to shoot out fear right before they die, because then their meat will be poison. You know, and people are like, oh, see, you won't torture the pet. I'm like, you wouldn't do anything. I know you. I know what you are. All right, so now we're going to look at some funny stuff. Nice to hear the Big Bear's thoughts on this. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, yeah. And it's like compassion, your third eye, compassion really is a superpower. And it's so unbelievably powerful that I don't recommend it unless you're like really, you have to earn it. You can't do it with drugs. I've developed so much compassion from being a homesteader. Like understanding, like I take care of so many animals. And so much gardening and so much manure and so much watering and so much that, like, I'm constantly connecting my compassion with what does the kale want? What does the chicken want? Well, how do I have, like, how do I do the best job I can with these animals and plants? So when you have, you know, because one thing that I was thinking about yesterday is how trauma has helped me grow. And my children don't experience the same trauma I did. And so am I doing them a disservice? And then I was like, no, my children have seen their bunny get eaten by their dog. We've buried, you know, we've had chickens killed, by, like they've been out playing and a raptor from the sky comes down and murders a chicken right in front of them. You know, they've been out in the rain and snow and sleet collecting eggs. And, you know, they live the natural traumas that build men. I lived the traumas of a soft pedophilia my whole childhood. And like baby boomer Zionist lying. And so it helped me in my way, but the trauma my children are experiencing is much more natural and more, your spirit grows a direct result of caring and tending. Right, and that's why when it's like, oh, don't kill the weasel, it's like, if I don't kill the weasel, he could kill 10 of my chickens for no reason. Just rip their heads off. So who's the caring man now? If I don't kill that pedophile, he could take the innocence of the next 10 children. And he will. And so, and there's no justice in the courts, that, you know, so that's, these are the things that you talk about. I'm not going to go hunting them, but if there was, this is all hypothetical. If there was one here, like let's say one tried to break in or hurt my child, that, like the type of, because there's no plausible deniability. Like, let's say I have them dead to rights. They're trying to, like, they're on my land, Ursa Manor, trying to hurt me or my child. Like, what would I do? And that's what I would do. I would have a long conversation with them, knowing that they were never going to leave alive. And I would really try to get them to relax and become very calm and reconnect to God and then send them home. BB, I've been through something very similar when I was a kid. Since watching you, I've learned to forgive truly. Yeah, it's not consent. It's not forget. It's not approve of. It's compassion. It is what Jesus is telling people. Trial by fire. No, but like when you torture him, you torture yourself. Like killing animals is an art. It's like to not have it come back at you and not close your third eye. Because one way of killing a lot of animals and killing a lot of people is you close your third eye. You close your compassion. You don't feel anything. You become very jaded and cynical. You become hard and calloused. And there's another way to do it. To try and ease their pain. To really, really slow them down. Forgive them, for they know not what they... You may not be able to hear what they have to say if you don't love in your heart. They will get inside you. Right. And now I'm about to show you something. Jesus only slaughtered fish implicitly. No, but see, that's the thing. Jesus isn't a pacifist. He's compassion. You know, Jesus, in my opinion, I'm not speaking for him. I believe he would do that to the pedophile. I think he would send him on his way back to the Father for judgment. I don't think there's a chance that someone that tuned in would spare a pedophile. Unless they truly repented, which I just don't, I don't know. There's so many ins and outs, but I don't know how it is. Would Jesus kill someone? I think this is a stupid conversation, but I believe absolutely. Because you're not killing, see, when you really believe in the soul and the afterlife, it's not really killing. You're sending them home. BB, I believe you're spot on. Oh, thank you, Beehive Bear. Torture is just feeding the, is just feeding the worm. Exactly. Torture is feeding, it's like feeding that worm in you that will grow. And then you get off on torture. I've seen it a million times, guys. I know people that have tortured people. I think so as well, BB. Jesus would probably send the pedophile back to the Father. I agree with your opinion. Yes. Yeah, like if... You know, but it also, you have to have that long conversation about like, why do you do this? Why is it in their brain is wired? And that they, once they repent and they don't want to put their poison into another child and have the child have to go through what they went through, like they have to see it first. You know, like once they realize that what they're doing, because everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows what they're doing deep down. So it's like, I bet you can get every pedophile at some point to admit that they don't want to hurt another child and to make them like them, that they're full of self-hate and despair. And that'll be a glimmer that reconnects them to God. And then give them what they want. If you don't want to hurt a child anymore, then we're going to take away your body. You know, your mechanism of hurting. All right, anyway, so we got some more stuff to talk about. I just wanted to talk about that today because, you know, this is why you guys are such a blessing in my life. Because you know, I have a family and little kids. Like, I'm not, hey, Amy, want to go in the other room and talk for a half hour about the nature of pedophile execution? You guys genuinely care. And I appreciate that. Like, you want to hear what I have to say. And so does Amy, but not this type of stuff. You know, she's in mom mode. So it's like, and this was profound. I started crying this morning thinking about this. Because this is my mirror from Neverending Story. Like, this is my monster, is the pedophile. And so how do you protect from the coyote? You have to feel what the coyote feels. And by the way, this isn't pacifism. The best hunters have pure, pure compassion. The best hunters feel the heartbeat of their prey. It's not that like, oh my God, look, it's a vicious bigot deer. No, it's like you feel it and then you send them home and you consume them. Compassion is for the pedo after he commits seppuku in order to gain back a little honor. Right, one step back to the Father is, you have to give it even to the pedophile. And I know that sounds basically impossible, guys. This is why I'm talking about my monster. Because you can easily say a murderer or a thief or somebody, when they take a step back towards the Father, they're saved. But a pedophile, it's almost impossible to see that. But you have to, in order to really have dominance over the pedophile. Because when you understand their thoughts and their actions and what put them in that position, you can send them home on a boat that'll make it. And that saves children. You know, that saves children. All right, now it's time to show you guys consent versus compassion. This is from, Comedy Central is so gay that they wouldn't even, I couldn't even take a screenshot of my special without paying for it. So, and putting it on OBS because it just goes to black. So I had to take a picture of my stupid computer screen. But anyway, this is just a picture off my dirty computer screen of the special. It's called High Five Till It Hurts. But listen to this closing bit. This has everything to do with what we're talking about right now. People are getting scared that they are going to have to take vaccines. And they don't. It's you. If you, they're asking you consent. That's always what it is. And this is me asking the crowd consent and them giving me consent. Watch this. And I used shame and fame to do it. I had no idea what I was doing at the time.
I heat, lose it. I start playing this. It, lose it when I start saying that you guys didn't like. I need you all to sing along to it. So this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna start playing Feel My Heat. And you guys are gonna lose your shit. Just freak out. And then when I start singing, I'm talking mayhem. Tits, dicks, standing O's, lighters. You give me that. I've given you heat, you give me heat right back. But this is the snag.
By the way, guys, I wasn't asking people to show me their tits and dicks. I was actually mocking Journey. I should start it a little earlier so you guys get the context. All right. It's a 6-minute joke. There we go.
I couldn't get there because they already had a lead singer. And I was my mind. Me and my dad used to watch SNL every Saturday. And I was like, that dude knows how funny his wiener is. I'm like, he plays music and he thinks his wiener's funny.
Talking about Sandler.
And I knew that from the time I was a kid till right now. Sandler's one of the best dudes in the world. And I love that dude. But that wasn't my number one dream. My number two dream was to be a ninja. Didn't work out. I was a fat kid, not Asian. I couldn't be in the union. The first dream was to be lead singer of a band called Journey.
By the way, great joke, not appreciated by the audience. Not allowed in the ninja union. The concept of a ninja union is way funnier than they gave me.
I couldn't get there because they already had a lead singer. And I was like 10. But I knew what I loved. I loved power ballads. Still love them. Whitesnake, Warrant, Motley Crue. Anytime those heavy guys used to do a power ballad like Home Sweet Home or any of that stuff, you're just like, yeah. Every rose has its thorn. Who has not cried to that song? And I'm like, I want to have a power ballad in my life. So tonight, I'm not going to close as a comedian. I've sweated for you people. I've written these jokes for years now to make sure you had a good time. But now we're not going to close for you. We're going to close for me. You're going to give me the feeling that I'm in a stadium and I'm Journey. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you guys a power ballad I wrote. It's called Feel My Heat Deep Inside of You.
By the way, Bill Gates wants to put something deep inside of you. It's called a vaccine. This is why this is a one-to-one allegory. I'm telling the crowd what I want from them, and they have a choice whether they can give it to me or not. It's consent.
Those are the only words. It's feel my heat, deep inside you, feel my heat. That's it. So once you get the cadence, I need you all to sing along to it. So this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna start playing Feel My Heat, and you guys are gonna lose your shit. Just freak out. And then when I start singing, I'm talking mayhem. Tits, dicks, standing O's, lighters. You give me that. I've given you heat, you give me heat right back. But this is the snag. We're at a big show, and you're here to see Feel My Heat. And I just played an entire new album that you guys didn't like. So you're not gonna make one peep, not one clap, until I say the word Feel My Heat. We're gonna build that tension, and then you're gonna give me what I need. And if it's not right, we start over, because I know what I deserve. You know what I mean?
Wait, what I'm doing right now is I'm creating a narrative. I'm telling a story of what I want, and I'm asking them to give it to me. And human beings really like stories, so they do.
Advance, but make sure you don't clap until you hear Feel My Heat. Thank you all for coming out tonight. No, that this you don't like the new album. I respect it, though. I respect it.
By the way, I'm training them, and they like it because human beings like people with a plan, even if they become a tyrant.
Enthusiasm, but when I say Feel My Heat, Lose It, I start playing it, Lose It, when I start singing it, New Level, and then you sing along, you know what to give me. There we go. Thank you all for coming out tonight. You know, the new album... You know what? We've heard that a lot tonight. That's like the 80th time we've heard that because our new songs all suck, and you're absolutely right, my man. If we can go back in time, just...
See, right there, I'm encouraging them to improv within the story I've given them. As long as they don't break the guidelines I've given them, I encourage it. And that allows them to really connect to me and consent.
Once, it's a little song you may remember that I know you all need, and I'm here to give the people exactly what they need. It's called Feel My Heat. Why the fuck are you not clapping? No, we start over now.
See, now just real quick, there's a very important thing. Why are you not wearing the mask? Okay, I have no power here except for consent. If someone doesn't want to clap, they won't clap. I don't have, like, there's nothing I can do to make anyone clap. But I use shame. I say, why aren't you clapping? You're ruining it. And then I make a threat. The economy won't open until everyone claps. Okay, at any point, they can all leave. At any moment, this entire crowd can simply get up and leave, and I'm a retard alone with a piano, singing to myself. Do you understand? This is a one-to-one allegory. Watch.
The whole crowd gives me heat. You don't think I can feel your lack of heat? Thanks for coming out tonight, you know. It's been a wonderful night here, and the new album might need a little work.
Play it!
I think every man, woman, and...
By the way, and when people are like, oh, that guy sucked. No, those people are not sucking. They're part of my narrative. I told them, the new album sucks. You want to hear Feel My Heat. So when people are like, Feel My Heat! Play it! I like it. Because it's not about stroking my ego. It's not like, oh, you're the best. I'm like, right now, you're not having fun. But when I play Feel My Heat, when I reopen the economy, you're going to feel a rush of endorphins and consent. You understand? And I create a narrative that isn't true that becomes true in 5 minutes. I'm a comedian, and no one knows the song Feel My Heat. Now watch me unfold. Watch me unfold a new reality. A new normal, if you will.
This crowd knows exactly what that young man's talking about when he says it. He's talking about a little song you may remember from back in the day. It's called Feel My Heat.
Consent! 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 Beg for it! Beg for it! Consent! By the way, this is indistinguishable from a Journey concert at this point. I'm about to just play it straight through a second. I wish we had the video. It's crazy. There's like 1,000 people going, ah! So I transformed myself from a comedian to a rock star, like that, okay? And I said, this is what I am now. So this is why I understand consent and compassion on a profound level. All someone had to do is say, I know what you're doing, and I'm okay with it, but I'm not going to clap. It's like, clap or we start again. Okay, now we have a face-off. I've seen this happen. Would you like to know what the tyrant does during that type of face-off? Starts ignoring the guy. There has been people in the past. I've done this hundreds of times. There has been people, I'm guessing a lot of times it's because they were blackout drunk. But sometimes people just won't clap. I've started over 6, 7, 8 times, and people break down and they start clapping. There has been times that people don't. At that point, you see an extinction event. if I lose the crowd's consent, I lose everything. So at that point, if I start over, it's like a battle of because I've made this mistake. I've walked. Crowds have started to get up and leave because I've started to feel my heat like 50 times in a standoff with one drunk black guy. Fact. So then people start getting up and not paying taxes. You understand the allegory? Once it becomes like at any time they can win. All right. So just like with the mask, it one person not clapping. And so then what would the tyrant do? It's just ignore the person. Because if I do a standoff, I can lose everything. But I have enough juice here. And I normally would have enough juice. That happened maybe twice. Whoa, you want to hear one time why it happened? The guy was deaf. I didn't understand why he wouldn't consent to me. And it got like really intense. I'm like, Justin. And someone just goes, dude, he's fucking deaf. And I was like, huge laugh. And I was like, I'm really sorry. And then I think I bought the entire crowd a shot. But that was the most tyrannical I've been was with a deaf guy. Because I couldn't understand his lack of respect. Like, he just wouldn't do anything I said. And I'm like, dude, I will not leave the stage. And then I found out he couldn't hear. And then I felt a wave of shame. So I spent about, I don't know, $2,000 on buying the entire crowd a shot. And then that became a legendary story. All right, so anyway, just notice. And the way I made it funny at the end, I was like, hey, me and my, I either had the deaf guy or one of his friends tell me in sign language how to do it, and I did it, and the deaf guy did that, and everybody, it was like a level of intensity that I'm pretty sure people were squirting in the crowd. All right, anyway, so watch this. Don't self-squirt, though. Here we go. There's no difference at this point between me and Journey.
I think every man, woman, and child in this crowd knows exactly what that young man's talking about when he says it. He's talking about a little song you may remember from back in the day. It's called Feel My Heat.
Consent.
Here we go, let's do it again, ready? Feel my heat.
Feel my heat.
Deep inside you. Feel my heat. Thank you guys. I'm Owen Benjamin. You guys have been unbelievable. I love you all. Thank you so much. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Chandler, let's do it. Get home safe, everybody. Austin, Texas, give yourself a round of applause. Thank you all so much. I love you guys. Good night.
All right, so that whole thing is about consent. So right now someone's saying, take the vaccine, take the vaccine. Deep inside you. See, my consent was about feeling really good. Killer crowd? Every crowd for me is a killer crowd. John Paul too? Shit. I thought they sucked. I got it to your email just in time for the end. All right. Oh, you want it? I'll just play it all the way through now that Covington sent me the actual video. 1 second. Good work, Covington Bear. So watch the whole thing. Watch how a narrative is created, built, consented to, how rebellion is handled. The power of the crowd is my point. They wanted to do it. They wanted my heat inside of them. If you don't want heat inside of you, you say no to the heat. The reason that got so big is because, guys, I just did an hour of crushing comedy. I deserved it. I earned it. Bill Gates has not earned it. He's a criminal, billionaire, probable pedophile. So it's like, I earned the crowd's consent, and the crowd said, Big Bear, we would love to give you your dream. One man said, no, I'm not gonna. So I made sure that he was humiliated. Man. If he had more strength, he could have held on and he could have possibly beaten the bear. But the bear knew some tricks up his. I had some tricks up my sleeve that I'm not even gonna reveal right now in case it ever happens again. But let's just say people feel the heat. Here we go. Watch the whole thing through.
This is how we're gonna close the show tonight. I love this. I love being a comedian. It was my third dream. It was my bronze. I have great parents. They're both college professors, as I said, and my mom's really intense, you know? When I was a little kid, she was like, Owen, what do you want to be with the rest of your life? I'm like, I don't know yet. I don't know. She's like, well, whatever it is, you do it because you're going to be dead someday. And she's like, you know the orange you have in your hand that you can't wait to eat? There's not going to be any more oranges. But she's amazing, beautiful woman, smart, loved the hell out of me, supported me, but she is intense. And I was like, all right, that's real. She's right, you know, why not do what you want? You know, you have one shot at this thing. Unless you're Hindu, then you have a shitload. But so I was like, all right, what do I want to do with my life? And I went and I saw Adam Sandler perform when I was 10.
No, I just continued.
I couldn't be in the union. Any of that stuff, you're just like, yeah. Me. You're going to give me the feeling that I'm in a stadium and I'm Journey. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you guys a power ballad I wrote. It's called Feel My Heat Deep Inside of You. Those are the only words. It's feel my heat, deep inside you, feel my heat. That's it. So once you get the cadence, I need you all to sing along to it. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to start playing Feel My Heat. And you guys are going to lose your shit. Just freak out. And then when I start singing, I'm talking mayhem. Tits, dicks, standing O's, lighters. You give me that. I've given you heat, you give me heat right back. But this is the snag. We're at a big show, and you're here to see Feel My Heat. And I just played an entire new album that you guys didn't like.
Well, we just watched it,
so you're not going to make one peep. You know what? Clapping. No, we start over now. The whole crowd gives me heat. You don't think I can feel your lack of heat? Thanks for coming out tonight, you know. It's been a wonderful night here, and the new album might need a little work.
Play it!
I think every man, woman, and child in this crowd knows exactly what that young man's talking about when he says it. He's talking about a little song you may remember from back in the day. It's called Feel My Heat.
By the way, I forgot about that part. I was staring right at the guy who wouldn't clap to make sure he clapped. Warlord 101, guys. Watch. I'm staring right at him like, clap. Watch. And I'm nodding like, okay, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Now we crush.
Sing it if you know the words. Feel my heat. Feel my heat. Awesome, what do you want me to feel? You know what you want me to feel. Here we go, let's do it again, ready? Feel my heat.
Feel my heat.
By the way, I did it just real quick. That was a weird editing point. I had them singing Feel My Heat for about 5 straight minutes.
Let's do it again, ready? Feel my heat. Deep inside you. Feel my heat. Thank you guys. I'm Owen Benjamin. You guys have been unbelievable. I love you all. Thank you so much. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, Chandler. Let's do it. Get home safe, everybody. Austin, Texas, give yourself a round of applause. Thank you all so much. I love you guys. Good night.
On to crush more again, somewhere else. And all the Gamma males are like, Owen Benjamin was never, he was never a comedian. Illuminati confirmed. All right. Gammas be like delusional visions of grandeur. That's what's in every Gamma's head of what they... I have compassion for the Gamma. I have sympathy for the devil, man. I get it. It's like, in their mind, that's what they deserve. And I deserve nothing. And so they're going to really try and rebalance the scales. Mount Crushmore? Yeah. Meant to be nice. I got to show you guys something insanely funny. But wasn't that a helpful breakdown of consent and compassion? I was just one dude on a stage with a microphone. The entire crowd is there. They had to want it. The people wearing masks want it. They want to. Because of shame. They need to feel safe. They need to baby themselves. I'm dead serious. Compassion. Third eye, dude. Third eye. Dude, compassion is the fucking mind blower. Why are they wearing masks? Because they want to. They want to. Why were those people singing Feel My Heat? Because they wanted to. Anybody could have gotten up and left. Hopefully that helps you understand the vaccine situation. Guys, I had a dude over at my house yesterday. It's one of Amy's best friends from way back in the day. Her boyfriend is from a polygamous Mormon family in Missouri. By the way, guys, it's mind-blowing to me that people are so comfortable with women just hooking up with guys, but polygamy is so evil. It's like, oh, no, you can fuck them and suck them off, but if you marry them and they give you a house and, like, a family and safety and, like, freedom and community, that's really evil. Like, most of these churchians that are, like, so against polygamy, they call me, like, the devil. I don't want more wives. I'm about to explain why. It's very stressful. Dude's dad died of a stroke at 50. Constantly working for his wives. It's not sexual. Everybody's been so sexualized by the grab war that people think multiple wives. They're like, oh, you stick it in one. And No. It's about, he has 600 people in his family. People are talking about, we might save the white wraith. Well, you should thank your local Mormon. Anyway, no social security number, no birth certificate, nothing. One of his brothers is now like one of the biggest steel providers in the country. They started in a garage. They started an entire farm, you know, or his mom's like a healer. None of them believe any of this bullshit. Anyway, long story short, by the way, I'm not pitching polygamy. I'm just saying, you live in such an upside down world that you think a woman taking hormones to make herself infertile so that she can be fucked by strange men is okay. She's playing the field. But if three women all have the same husband and they're all given a house and they're all given the same, guys, I don't have the strength for that. It's not, here's the irony about the play. I was given these, I was questioning the shit out of it. Because, you know, Amy's like, that's Owen's dream. I'm like, not polygamy, but having, you know, 30 kids. Yeah, obviously. I was asking him, like, how it all worked. And the people in his family that break away from polygamy are the men. Because they don't want the responsibility. It's too intense. The women love it because they get sister wives and they get, like, real community. You want to talk about strength against the grab war and against the state? Imagine if you had 2,000 cousins that and you all are like really, really based and all your businesses are intertwined and you're always together and you're always praying. And it's like, that's real tribe shit. That's real strength. Where it's like, You know, imagine being a woman, because people have watched so much porn, they don't see it. Do you know how much you don't fuck when you're married? You know, if you're just having kid after kid after kid, you're not really fucking much. So it's like, these women get to be, like, this dude's mom, one of his moms was the healer, another one was, you know, and they're all homeschooling, and they just are doing vineyards and all this shit. I couldn't do it. You know, I have a hard enough time with one kingdom. One. I would marry a good man with other wives over any gamut. Exactly. This is the irony. The people saying, oh, polygamy's so evil. No, just fuck them and bail. There's more men that can't be husbands and fathers because of they can't handle the responsibility than there is women who want children. A lot of women want children. They're just like, women write to me all the time where they're like, I'm trying to find a husband in Dallas. It's like really hard. I might have to buy a homestead myself and just really hope someone comes. It's like, okay, so it's better to just keep those girls on birth control and just having them get fucked by strangers? Like, seriously? And people still are like, I ain't sharing LMAO. Right, that's another thing. You have to be so religiously dialed in to handle that, because then, or else envy would pop up, or, you know, that whole sharing thing. Like, the only way it works is, like, crazy commitment to your religion. Or else women would spiral. If there's any differences, if there's any preferences, if there's any thing, if it has to do with sex, if it has to do with who gets better shit, like that, when your whole thing would crumble. I couldn't handle that. Not for me, LMAO, not a sharer. Yeah, you'd rather have them just get plowed at bars. I get it. So, like a lot of women, so it's like, yeah, if there's a man that can provide for another woman to have children, and I get it. Some women are like, no, send her to a bar. Let her get plowed out by, you know, Joe Rogan, one of his opening acts. I don't know how Solomon did it. Dude, I that's the thing, is it's when people are like, oh, Big Bear, what, you want a polygamy? Dude, I don't have the strength. Like, that's why a lot of dudes bail. You know, because a lot of them are like, no fucking way. If you actually understand, like, what you have to provide in that world, this is where compassion kicks in. The first thing you think, a lot of people think, is like, oh, fuck them, oh, no. Dude, it's like, really imagine that life. Like, really imagine what it's like to have to support three homes filled with children and a woman. Like, that's so intense. And, but if people can handle it, it seems like people have a good time. I wouldn't have the strength from all the wives. Me neither, dude. I wouldn't want that responsibility. That's the irony. And there was just a massacre of Mormons in Mexico. Never makes the news, obviously. Killed a bunch of women and children, all these cartels. Americans, too. American Mormons were just massacred by cartels because the polygamous Mormons in Mexico are the only people capable of staying up to the cartels. They won't pay kidnapping fees or whatever, ransoms. They're like, if you keep paying the ransom, they'll keep doing it. They're willing to be like, no, we won't engage in this. And they were actively rallying people against the cartel. So the cartel, like, murdered a bunch of them. And no one reports it because the governments are tied in with the cartels. Like, you want to actually have a tribe? It's about family, family, family. And I'm not pitching polygamy. I'm just saying that wouldn't it be nice if you at any point could have 100 family members at your house if shit's going down? Of course, it's a dream. If you're atomized and alone in a honeycomb of a city, you will wear a mask and you will take it in your asshole and you will give all your money to a managerial staff to make you feel safe, but in reality, they are trying to fuck you. Imagine the menopause avalanche. Oh, right. I know, but you don't have to virtue signal. You don't have to be like, oh, baby, I you're all I need. Dude, it's like, it's so fucking gay listening to men be like that. It's like, oh, that's evil, isn't it, sweetie? Whatever. You think that's evil, but you jerk off to pornos. It's so upside down that I spend a lot of time with my animals. That'd be a dream in a field full of food ready for harvest, too. Oh, dude, and it's real hard work. Like, this dude that was over last night, you know, he's not looking to do that. He's like, dude, it's fucking intense. He saw my goats, and this is like a tall, lean crusher. And he's like, oh, goats. I'm like, what? He's like, dude. And then his girl told Amy that his whole childhood was spent wrangling goats because they just kept getting out. And now, I wouldn't call it PTSD, but he's just like, fucking goats. But he likes my goats. He's like, oh, those are small and nicer. I'm like, yeah. He never went to school. He worked his whole life. His whole life was work. And now it's just still work. And no social security card, you know, like he going to start a bank account. And this is the point I'm trying to make. I'm not pitching polygamy. I'm just letting you know you're retarded if you don't see the difference. Oh, no, I can take dick in the bar and of course. And then when you see these women that are not allowed to have children because there's not enough men, the men are just squirt boys. It's like, so you're saying that a man giving her a house and a family and community and all, that's all bad? She should just keep getting fucked by strangers? That's the right way? Like, what? It's fine, though. It's everyone's on a different path. Compassion for the people that can't see it. All right, so, and then people are like, oh, I knew Owen with the cult leader. Dude, I will never take another wife. That sounds, I don't have it in me. I go to bed exhausted every fucking night. I want to be a great uncle. I wish I had more brothers to have tons of kids. You know, me and my brother, between the two of us, have 6 kids. We want more. That's power. Family is power. That's a fact. That's why they want to destroy families. Anyway, that's why all machines, corporate and government, always talk shit about polygamy. Because it's like, that's real power. You go into the county that these people are from and they control it. I mean, well, who's going to be elected sheriff? Whatever this family wants. They have all the votes. But what about the pornos? No. That's why governments hate it. You see yet? It's all like the Constitution is the people. Yeah, I got a family of bear brothers and sisters. I love that. That's right. That's right. You can be an uncle to my daughter. I love it, dude. That's I'm so tribal. That's why I love the bears. That's why I do this every day. I love it. It's like I like giant families. I don't like giant crowds of strangers. I don't like branding crowd. I mean, I would never go that road of like, oh, clicks. I like people I can fucking count on. That's why I ban everybody. All right, what the fuck was I just talking about? Oh, yeah. So vaccines is a lot like, okay, can you imagine not having a birth certificate, a social security card, a driver's license? This dude is like 30 and he's never had any of it. And he has a passport and he got his passport because his mom used a scuba diving certificate. Because all you need is a picture with your name on it and you can get a passport. And so he did recently get a social security number just to make shit easier, because he said that every time he'd have to like do something, he'd just go, like they go, what's your social security number? He's like, I don't have one. It's like, well, are you not a citizen of America? He's like, no, I am. He's like, they're like, well, you can't have a bank account if you don't have a social security number. He's like, yes, you can. Grab your manager. So, again, just because that was the mark of the beast for these people. They're so off this bullshit that, like, their mark of the beast is social security number. Forget about chips and fucking vaccines. So don't be afraid of this stuff. You can always tap out. You just have to take the responsibility. It'll take another 10 minutes every time you do a bank thing. That's it. It's convenience versus freedom. And here's another piece of info that I can pass on. What the fuck was it? What was my thought? He gave me another awesome piece of info. I don't remember. Fascinating. Need to learn more about the Mormons. Yeah, dude, Mormons are crushing. And the more like base polygamous, like off grid, dude, they're completely off grid, absolutely crushing. Oh, dude, you want to be a Mormon? Dude, stop. Just stop. Stop. Purge yourself of sin. We all have sin, but like, if you can't understand, if you can't put yourself in the shoes of a polygamous Mormon town, I just don't know how many pornos someone has to watch. Of course I'm not becoming a polygamous Mormon. That's like saying, oh, I know how to milk my goat. Oh, so you're a goat? It's that fucking stupid. And I have to deal with it every day from people. And I have compassion for those people because they watch so many pornos. The reason I get frustrated is because I know why you're like this. And I know how dirty you are. I know how filthy your mind is. I'm kind of jealous of not having an SSN number. Sounds amazing. Yeah, but he just got one. Oh, this is the point. Thank you for reminding me. I know I also love the Amish, and people are like, oh, so you're fucking Amish now? Okay. So when he finally got a social security number, it was just because of the convenience of it. But the beast doesn't even care. A lot of them were just fascinated. He said at first they would act weird, like he was some sort of like foreigner weirdo, where he's like, yeah, I don't have a social security number. Well, what's your birth certificate? I don't have a birth certificate. It's like, who are you? But as soon as he would explain, like, I was home birth, I'm from Missouri, they were, like, fascinated. Even, like, judges and shit. They were more just like, wow, you can do that? Like, a lot of these scams were put in place 3 generations ago, and those guys are all dead. And a lot of people don't even know what they're a part of. And so people are like, wow, you don't need a social security number. He's like, no. And he almost acts like how he was around my goats, like, a little exhausted. He's just like, yeah, it's just like every time I go through like airports and stuff, it just take an extra bit of time. Can you still home birth off the books? Absolutely, dude. I this is why compassion's so big, because you get so much more information. If people are just like, oh no, I can't tie to a Mormon polygamist. And the first thing this dude would say is like, I'm not a polygamist. He's like, I'm from a family. And they're all still totally tight. He has one brother that's a liberal now. I go, why is he a liberal? He goes, he went to college. And like, they still all hang. They're all so tight. Guys, family is wealth. I can't reiterate that enough. Like, real family bonds. Like, no matter what happens, this is my family. Like, one of his brothers, he has 20 siblings. And he has literally like 2,000 cousins. Became a liberal, totally disavowed Mormonism. Everybody that usually disavows are the dudes, because the women are infinitely safer there. The women would never, like, a polygamous Mormon would, they think it's fucking insane to be like, oh no, I'm going to go to New York City alone, get on birth control, spend all day working to pay off a debt I'll never have no children, no brothers, no cousins, no uncles, no fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers all around me all the time. No, I'm gonna give up all that. And I'm going to go just get fucked by Jewish bankers that will never, it's mind-blowingly anti-woman the way we live. Mind-blowing. And it's painted so opposite, like it always is, where it's like, oh no, you want feminism, you got to get a girl to squirt. It's like, dude, it's shocking to women from actual families. And it doesn't have to be fucking polygamous, just any family structure. Like, that's one reason why Amy and I live here, is because she has parents, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles. They don't need Zoloft. They don't fucking get all fat and scared and nervous. That's the result of a woman being in constant fear. And it's from the urban insanity. I was just having this conversation last night. Yeah, a woman is infinitely safer being married to the same dude as other women in a highly religious environment, not a fucking pimp or cult or... No, I'm talking about, like, agrarian. Like, you have to grow shit. To the point where it's almost impossible. Like, to have that religious commitment required for that living is really intense. Yes, BB, urban insanity a lot. And the same... Like, dudes and women, they'll be like, oh, Big Bear's now into polygamy. I knew he was a fucking cult leader. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll take my prescription pills that make me medically insane, put on my mask, and go to the store to buy product full of poison. Then I'm going to have sex with a guy I met on a little app in my phone, and then I'm going to cry myself to sleep and do it again and again and again and again. But Owen's the crazy one for saying that women should have familial connections and safety within an agrarian environment, surrounded by men that love them and would kill and die for them. Like, it's pure, unadulterated madness that you don't see unless your third eye is open. Yeah, big laughs out of Julie. Dude, women know. No, the only boyfriend I need is my vibrator and my cat. okay. So when the monsters come, is your vibrator, what is the vibrator going to, you're going to put it in the monster's anus and then your cat. Oh, by the way, since my third eye's been wide open lately, I've been having compassion for the cat. Imagine a cat constantly being told that they're cold and like shitty and that the dog is great. I was like looking at one of my cats and I was feeling the cat. And I was like, imagine being a cat and being like, what presents has the dog ever given you? All the dog does is need shit. I gave you 3 little possums, 2 mice, and a rat. I brought them to your door. I murder for you. And you're going to call me cold? Like, the cat goes out and murders for me every day, hunts. And I know it's for me because the cat brings it back and presents it. And then goes. And I look at the death that the cat has done for me. And I say, oh, what a cold bastard. And the cat's like, what? And it's like, well, you don't. It's like, yeah, I'm not needy because I don't want to take your time up. Like fucking George.
George's like, can I go out? Oh, no. Come on. Then I'm going to be on your face. Oh, George, he's such a good boy.
He is a good boy. But the cat is like, because I don't want your time, because I don't bother you, and because I bring you presence of death, I'm the cold one. Well, that big piece of shit just keeps running away and you keep bribing him to come home with meat. Like, he's the good one. This is how I am all the time now with compassion. It's fucking crazy. George eats the alpaca poop, so he has that. Right, but it's for himself. He's never murdered anybody for me. You know, like the cat will every day bring me trophies. Look what I've done for you, master. I've killed. Cats are stoic and independent. They're not even independent. They murder for me. They're not eating the shit, and they don't just kill it and run away. They bring it to me and show me, and they're thanking me for the food I provide. They're saying, look, I've killed another vermin for you, master. And I'm like, great. And it's like, and now I will give you peace. I will go to my post and continue to murder to keep you free of pestilence. And I'm like, thank you, cat. The least you can do is not call me cold and fucking just keep boosting that big piece of shit's ego over there. Dude, I used to fucking hate cats. I used to talk so much shit about cats. And now I'm like, they're patrol patriots. Imagine a person that just gives you your space and just keeps murdering your enemies for you. BB, the purring of a cat will calm and open your third eye. Dude, I get it. That's why the Egyptians were all about the cat.
Oh, Egyptian? That means you're of the devil.
I know what you do. Show me. Next time someone calls me of the devil, I want a screenshot of your browser history for the last month. In order. I want to see 1 month of what you've looked at on the internet. No? I didn't fucking think so. You can check out mine. You can check out years of my browser history. I think that's one reason why the NSA gives me peace. They know I don't have any skeletons. I thought about that recently. How come the alphabet agencies don't fucking care about me anymore? I think that they've tapped into my phone and my computer history and they saw that I really don't beat off to pornos. Because I think that's how they do it. I think that's how they got Alex Jones, allegedly. I think they saw what he beats to and they knew that they could turn screws. No clearing of the history. No. I want just 1 month. If you're going to call me the devil, I want to see if you pleasured yourself to human trafficking in the last month. How's that sound, motherfucker? No, I didn't think so. Then shut your fucking mouth. All right, I have one letter today. All right. Oh, and by the way, again, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Dr. Andrew Kaufman will be on to discuss turpentine, viruses, and whatnot. They got no dirt on you. Dude, it's pure freedom. Dude, it's all hunting and trapping. It's all prey predator shit. They look, what can we easily get on this dude? Nothing? Okay, so what's he really doing? Not that much. He just has bears, he's crushing. If they could screw it, you know, if I had 100 million bears, maybe they would go a little more aggressively. I don't know. But I know they've checked me out. I know they've done a dossier. And what are you going to use? I've never done anything that you can twist, and I don't have an addiction that you can twist. Oh, speaking of addiction, though, it's not addiction, obviously, but we're making our own apple cider right now. Very low alcohol, but very natural. Well, I got this giant press, and yesterday me and my sons just kept filling it with apples and just squeezing. The apple juice is so fucking good, guys. A cold press is so good. It's way better than a hot press. Like, you know, the fuck that. Just press it down and collect the juice. You know? And then put in a little champagne yeast. Let it sit for 2 weeks. It's going to be about 1.5%, 2% alcohol, but it's never going to go bad. Well, not never, but it lasts for a very long time. Throw it in the fucking storage and enjoy. BB crushing it. Dude, crushing apples. By the way, you see how expensive apples have gotten in the stores? Almost like it was smart to plant 40 apple trees. Weird. Weird. Dude, cold press is night. It's night. And I put some ginger in there. You know, I'm going to try and press a lot of shit. I think one of my callings is fruit pressing. No, that's not torturing homosexuals. I think one of my callings is picking things throughout my day and seeing how they taste together after pressing them. Master crusher, yes. Do you feed the rinds to the goats? No, chickens. Makes their eggs taste better. $2. No, dude. A fucking little bag of apples at Albertsons is like $10 now. It's crazy, dude. All right, real quick. Oh, I got to play something really funny. It's $5.99 for 6 rolls now. Oh, you want to know where it's really cheap to live? Where the Mormons live. You can get a dozen eggs for 50 cents in Missouri. Odd. It's almost like really strong family bonds make it harder for the grabber to exploit people. You can get a dozen fucking eggs for 50 cents in Cedar County, Missouri. Where I live here, it's like $7. Well, not for me. I obviously have several dozen a day, but all right. I have an apple press. I need to do some repairs before fall. Nice. Where do you store all the... Wait for it. Oh, I only have 6%. What? All the jars? I don't know. I just started doing it, bro. Dear Big Bear, to unto myself, I'm an immigrant child to California. My parents moved away from Bombay's pollution, overpopulation, to give me a better chance at figuring out life. Though my parents and I hadn't fully assimilated to Canadian culture, most of their friends in Canada also Indian and immigrants. A recent trip to India to visit family and sightsee has brought me to the conclusion that I am so thankful. I'm such a fan of how simple and satisfying life in North America can be. India is great, but it's not home anymore. It's a place I visit to learn, always an interesting experience, but it's no longer home. I look to you for advice on many things since you've helped me combat some wizards and pomegranates in my life, and so much more. I know you say we should marry within our races. I am such a fan of the homesteading life, and unfortunately, it is not very easy to find a brown man willing to take care of animals in the winter. See, this is constant, guys. I get letters from women all the time where it's like, I just want a man to provide me a family and stability. And the white men are like, or brown men, dude, any of them are just like, I might squirt. There is a massive imbalance. There's way more women that want a man than there is men that want a family. Men are psychotically squirting. So, like, when I'm talking, dude, the future may entail a lot of polygamy. Just letting you guys know that. You can be mad at the bad man all you want, but these women are going to eventually start finding men. And you're going to find men that can provide. It's like, I'm sick of waiting for someone. Dude, so many men are so fucking cucked now that women are just like, what do I do? Just buy a homestead? And men are just like, let me squirt. All right. Unfortunately, it is not very easy to find a brown man willing to take care of animals in the winter. Hysterical, by the way. It's one of the race issues. I seriously think some people are more designed for winter, and I will not apologize. But still, I have my mind open. I wanted to ask you about if you think someone like me should go back to India to try and improve the issue circumstance there are, try to assimilate further into Canadian culture. Big Bear, you are a legend. Keep crushing. I think you should stay in Canada. because Canada doesn't really have a strong call. It's not like Canadians are like, Canadians are so fucking lost. If you want to live a homesteading life, a faithful, good, natural life and be a strong person and a mother and all that, it's like, that's what Canada fucking needs. Canada needs a slap in their maple-eating fucking faces. They sold out they cuck so hard that now it's like, dude, you know, whatever. I don't think you need to go back to India. If you don't feel like India is home anymore, you know, and you're welcome here. If your community likes you, if your community, like, this is always the test. Like, does your community like you? Do you bring stuff to the community? You know, because we all, you know, the melting pot doesn't work and we're all facing the reality of that. But on a person-to-person level, I think it's more important that people have good values than just their skin. But she's probably not genetically very ideal for winter environments. You might get really sad in the winter, like really sad. I've noticed that. All right. Gig Harbor's nice, buddy. Go there. Agree. Amen, BB Canada. Great land. Some dodgy idiots, though. Oh, well, most of the men. Dude. Jordan Peterson is like their warlord. All right, let me play you something really funny, and then I'm going to go. The future's all about just respect and reality, dude. There's going to be a lot of changes in national boundaries, in my opinion, which is good. But won't we all die? Let me see your browser history. Okay, watch this. This is insanely funny. Watch this. Oh, can you not hear it? It's really quiet. Yeah, we're gonna play that again so you can read it. So here's a white girl and a brother. Look at this. Get your hands off my bike. Get your hands off my bike, she says. And he says, you're being totally unfair. That scene probably has nothing to do with a racial bike situation, but it does, though. It does. All right, any questions before I go? Unauthorized.tv, if you'd like. Also, if you want to send me a letter to support the stream, P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335. Get your hands off my bike. You're being totally unfair. Get your hands off my bike. If people were more like the Mormons, there wouldn't even be a race issue. If you just had strong tribal connections, people would naturally just, you know, marry their own and have kids with their own. Oh, there's no that thing is their own. No, there is. There is. It's like, it's strength. You know? And if someone else comes in, like an Indian Mormon or whatever, it's like, oh, okay. But it's like, it just wouldn't really happen because there wouldn't be a pressing force to do that. Did BB get a new Insta? No, but you can follow Coddington Bear at Owen Comedy. Symphony of the Soil. I like that. Thank you, BB. Great stream once again. Okay, I heard something about a song about a bike. Oh, yeah, I've known that song for a long time. I know a few Mormon bike thieves, and he is a chill dude with a big family. Right. I know. I'm so sick of cucked whites judging other blacks who actually have families. I'm like, well, because I really believe that there are, I don't know if they're humans, but there are beings that live thousands of years, I think. I think that there's people with timelines that are like, all right, man, I'll see you in 20 years. I'll see you in, we'll see how you're doing in 100 years. Let's see how your people are going when you're getting off on your fucking shiny white skin, when you don't have a wife or children. You still think you're better than the thieves, the bike thieves? All right. It's about family strength, dude. It's about family strength. Everyone have a great day. Thanks, BB. Anytime. I have 4%. I'm going to milk it a little bit here. Compassion is not forgiveness. Exactly. And it's also not consent. So many solid black families in my town. Sweet. I'm not rooting for the blacks, but when I hear about a good family, I'm like, that's nice. The problem with the civic nationalists and the cuck-servatives and all that is they think there's some sort of virtue in blacks. Where it's like, look at them. They're having a family. I don't see that at all. I have no interest in having blacks around me at all. But good people, are good people, no matter what they are. And that's reality. That's why there's a little bit of truth in every one of these cuck fucking philosophies where it's like, yeah, virtue and character and strength and all that is infinitely more important than race. But race also isn't like mixing races isn't virtuous. Just isn't. That's fake. That's fake globalist bullshit. Do you think there's a limit for women how much they can understand, like pattern recog, etc.? I think there's a limit for everybody. I think the more tuned in to your natural environment and the more compassion you have, the more you see. I think there's women that see a lot more than me, you know, like fucking real based farming agrarian mothers of 10. Like, she'd probably look at me like a retard. I can't believe a dozen eggs is $7 or $10 in some places. It's like $1.50 in Utah. Gee, what's in Utah? I don't know, Mormons? I mean, who doesn't love seeing a happy family out and about together? Exactly, dude, exactly. Again, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, me and Dr. Coffin. I never dated inside my race. I can't. Why can't you? Okay, here's the thing. It's not about necessarily dating within the race. It's harder on the kids if they're more fucking atomized. The more they are part of a cohesive community, the better their life is. Fact. And the mixed race kids are the ones who will tell you that's definitely true. And then you'll have white globalist sodomites saying, oh no, it's virtuous to mix and match. Now let me see that, ain't it? They're trying to prey on the weak. You can also have a mixed race family that does great. It's just a little harder. That's all I'm saying. It's just a little bit harder. But it's worth it if you connect that much with your woman or your man. You know, it's worth it if that thing is going to be a little harder. Is it easier in a lot of other ways? Is it more fruitful in other ways? That's all it is. It's if you're mixed and your kids are mixed, then what? Nothing. I'm mixed of European nations. My wife is mixed. Everybody at this point is a little fucking fucked up. And what it makes you crush. You know, dude, when you look at like Mormons with 2,000 cousins, you're like, oh. When people are like, this is our people. Same with the Jews. The Jews have more strength than us in certain ways because of their gremlin-like fucking familiar relations. They're like, you also make the pornos and eat poop? It's like, oh, me too. Let's take over the world together. Oh. My family's mixed, but we are, I'm a Euro mutt for sure. But you also don't need to put yourself down. I mean, I'm an American crusher. I have a nation. I'm a bear. But it's like, you know, don't act like it's virtuous to keep mixing everything up. It's like wearing two different color socks does not make you virtuous. People think you're schizophrenic. Mormons seem to have it all together. Not all. I mean, there's huge downfalls to Mormons. I mean, they think that they inherit like a fucking planet or something. I don't know. I think some of their philosophy is a little wacky. But I'm appreciating their family bonds. I have a nation, as he puts on the China hat, LOL. You mean the thing I got in Wuhan? Guys, I'm a cosmopolitan. I just went over to Wuhan, China, and then I went over to London to get myself some AIDS. If you're mixed, you're both races, but you're also neither in a sense. It's not something to focus on. If you focus on logos and just reality, you naturally just are around people that birds of a feather flock together. Fact. That's how it works. You know? Different subspecies of chickens will mingle, but typically not. They always hang with themselves. But, you know, when you have an outcast or something, someone stole a bike, they'll fucking pop into another coop. My husband is biracial and awesome, married 22 years. Good. You just said that for yourself, but I'm glad that that's cool. I'm sure he is a good person. I never said that they wouldn't be a good person. That's classic projection, but it's all good. My wife is biracial, technically. She's English, Norwegian, and prairie nigger. Obviously, she's a great person. She's my wife. But people are like, my husband is it. Dude, it's like you're projecting your inner problems. I never once said if you're biracial, you're a bad person. Ask him if his life was a little harder. He will say, yes, it was, because of course it was. Okay, guys, I'm out of here. I hope everyone's biracial husbands have great days. P.O. Box 727, Gig Harbor, Washington, 98335, unauthorized.tv, unbearablesmerchandise.com, bitchute.com/OwenBenjaminComedy. Also, you can find me wherever you get your audio podcasts. And I will see you tonight, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here, dlive.tv/OwenBenjaminComedy. There's no virtue in mixing races, is my point. None, zip. Oh, but I'm part this, so that makes me part victim. Fuck you. Get a giant family and grow your own food and crush. All right, and remember, compassion is not consent, but compassion is pure strength. And don't consent to the grabber. Bill Gates wants to be inside of you, but it's poison. All right, much love, everybody.